Our reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. So in our last reading, we finished up with chapter 11, which a lot of times we call the Hall of Fame of Faith or the Chapter of Faith. And he points out that all of these characters by faith didn't turn and do the easy things. They endured and pushed forward because they were looking forward to something greater, something heavenly, something that was not of this world. And so when chapter 12 starts off and he says, therefore, again, we're continuing a thought, we're building on previous ground that's been laid, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those faithful people, let us also lay aside every weight. So just like them, no matter what comes your way, you've got to shed that weight. It would be like somebody who goes to run a race. You wouldn't do that with a big heavy backpack on your back because that's going to slow you down. Well, the things of this world can be like that heavy backpack that slows you down or keeps you from finishing. We need to lay aside weights like that. Sin, which clings so closely, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, when he's making this point about laying aside every weight, we're talking about things that would be worldly, that would perhaps even be sinful. And he said, lay aside the sin which clings so closely, that clings and will weigh us down and hold us down and hold us back, keep us from running that spiritual race. Now we need to run with endurance that race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. And I think about this in terms of this race, and I think about Jesus who has already set the path for us. It would be like following him. He would be in this race. He'd be in first place. And we would be just trying to follow the same path and avoid the obstacles that he has set a path around for us, that he will guide us in these things. And by the wisdom of God, he does guide us. So consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Understand that he endured those things and we will endure likewise. We can endure by the strength that he has, by the strength that he grants to us, by that which he strengthens us in these spiritual matters. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And I hope that none of us ever has to shed their blood in order to remain faithful. But he says, you haven't had to go as far as he had to go. You didn't have to do quite as much as he had to do. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? If we realize that we've been adopted into that family of God, becoming joint heirs with Christ, not only is that a great privilege, but that also puts us under that authority of the household, of being the spiritual heavenly Father that we have. So don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. A father disciplines his children for their good, not for any sort of enjoyment on his own behalf. If he was just trying to avoid any pain for himself, then he wouldn't discipline the child, but that really wouldn't be any showing of love either. And that's what he puts forth here. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you're left without discipline in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. So they'd be children without a father, children that are outside of that heavenly family. But that's what we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of that spiritual family of God. And so we accept the authority and the discipline of God. Verse 9, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So if we respect our earthly fathers for the discipline and training that they provide, shouldn't we much more respect then our heavenly Father for providing guidance and discipline as well? Verse 10, for they disciplined us, speaking of those earthly fathers, for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. That's the goal. That's why he disciplines us, is to help us reach that goal of holiness. Be holy as he is holy. Verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. It's painful in the moment, but it yields something after the moment is done. Yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, who yield themselves over to that discipline. Verse 12, therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. Be strong enough to go through the discipline, gain the endurance, and have that fruit that would come out of that discipline because we accept it humbly and willingly. Verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. If we don't strive for that holiness, we certainly will not attain it, and we certainly will not see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That root of bitterness can come from a number of places, but in this context, I think it's out of one that is bitter over that discipline and bitter over the things they have to endure and the sufferings that they have to go through as a Christian. They don't humbly accept those things with a realization that there is something better and that's why you're enduring, like those people of faith did. See that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. What did Esau do? He was hungry. He sold his birthright simply to have some stew for the moment. He couldn't think past the immediate moment. And so he gave in and he gave up his birthright. We should not, simply because of the circumstance we find ourselves in, the suffering of the moment, we should not take the easy path in order to get rid of that suffering and thereby give up our spiritual birthright. We need that birthright as spiritual sons of God. Verse 17, for you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. He later on realized what he'd done, and he wanted that back, but there was no way to get it back at that point. So he was telling them, don't go back to Judaism just to try to get rid of some of this suffering for the moment. And we as Christians, don't go back to the world simply to make things a little easier on ourselves for a short time, giving up that spiritual inheritance that we have. We want that spiritual birthright. I'll leave you with that for today, and that's a lot to chew on and think about and work toward, because we want to endure so that we can receive the prize. And so I would ask you to meditate on those things, pray to God for strength, pray to God that we may endure, and pray that He'll continue to be with us during these trying times. Please come back tomorrow for another reading from Hebrews chapter 12.